It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. If you want to get involved in the conversation or the Twitch or the YouTube, I've got some Cowboys questions that matter following the opener. First question for you guys. Were you sad to see Micah Parsons in a Packers jersey? Because Trayvon Diggs, you know, he quote tweeted a highlight and he's like, this can't be real. Wake me up from the dream. Did it make you sad to see that go down?
Yeah. It was weird because I guess, I know somebody's going to get really upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
Having just gone through the Lucas situation, though, kind of made this landing a little softer.
Okay.
Because the Luka thing, like, I was gutted emotionally from that. And this, I was like, all right, but that's a player I thought was going to be a stalwart player for the team for years to come. You know, he's just go ahead and make a check mark next to it. He's going to be there for a long time. But I didn't feel the way, I understand why Diggs felt that way. That's his best friend. You know, like, I get that part of it. So it would be like, if you left and went to a political radio station,
nice.
I don't know.
Oh.
That's all. You're not leaving to go to another sports station. I know that. Without
that's,
me,
that's true.
I would feel like, dang, like that's my dude right there. I would be upset, but no, I didn't feel quite like Diggs did. But it did feel a little weird seeing him over there.
Alec, did it make you sad at all?
No, I think weird is the best word to describe watching that. Like, watching the ovation that he got running out of the tunnel and everything. It was like, oh, I've heard that before for the exact same player, you know, just in a different stadium. Seeing the different jersey number, the different colors that he was wearing, it was just weird. I didn't ever really have that emotional connection to the player that I did, like, to Corey's point with Luka, you know, for some reason that maybe there was just more time for that relationship between the fan base and Luka to build versus Parsons. He wasn't here as long, but I just never really felt that. It never screamed Micah Parsons the Dallas Cowboy to me. It hadn't gotten to that point yet. Maybe if a contract extension had been reached, then it's like, okay, that's Micah Parsons the Dallas Cowboy. I just see him as Micah Parsons the entity that is polarizing, that's really good at football. I never saw him as, like, you know, one of the franchise cornerstones of DFW per se.
Were you guys prepared for the shocking overreaction by some people on social media when he got a sack when it was a 3-touchdown game with less than 4 minutes left and Jared Goff's like, I don't know what to do?
Jared Goff didn't know what to do most of that game.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's just people freaked out like that was the game-winning play.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. It's just Jared Goff struggled with that defense. Like, that entire defense made it very difficult for Jared Goff and for the running game for the Detroit Lions as well. Every time he gets a sack, it's going to be a big deal.
I agree with that.
It's going to be Lewis Riddick, you trade a guy like that? That's just ridiculous. You know, like, okay, dude, like, I get it. But no, yeah, everybody's going to react every time something positive happens. I do wonder how often they'll point out any negative things. Will people be pointing those things out too, or will it just be, no, look at all these sacks that he has?
Can this Cowboys team run the ball effectively? Now, they ran for 119 yards on 22 attempts, which is 5 yards per carry. That was the highest Cowboys per carry average in a season opener in 11 years. So that's the positive. Obviously, we've discussed if you take out the one run, it's more like 3.4 yards, but that's not how statistics work. Do you believe this team can effectively run the ball?
I do. I'm interested to see it with Blue
if that, do you think that Miles Sanders touchdown is a touchdown or play is a touchdown if it's blue?
For sure. I mean, if blue makes the first part of the play,
right? No, yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
No doubt he's taking that in.
He's the only one with what I think is that getaway speed. And we haven't had, I mean, truly that since Pollard. I think that had that kind of just, he's gone. I do think that the offensive line, as it grows, is going to be better. I did, Kevin, rewatching. I saw some things I really liked from Terrence Steele. There were some other things that I was like, dadgummit. But there were some really good moments. Guyton still has some growth. But, man, here's what I'll say. You get in within the 20, I think you can just put your running back right behind the Cooper Beebe and say go. And that's what I'm looking forward to is – let's get into that 20 and see if we can be a better red zone team than we've been the last couple of years.
Alec, do you think this team can run the ball effectively?
I think they can because you do have Blue coming back hopefully this week. And, you know, the idea that we've had is that you are going to have that, you know, third down back, that guy that can catch out of the backfield and can get you a big chunk play whenever you need it. And he didn't even play week one and the run game still looked decent enough. So without him, I thought it looked good enough. If the even the idea that he could get you one, you know, 10 plus yard play per game. If that idea actually exists and that comes to life, then it can be consistent.
Can I ask a question regarding that question and what both of us said there?
Yes.
Will, do you think we're going to have problems securing the ball this year?
I mean, it's hard for me to say no based off of that and Blue's history. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm a little like, all right, we'll see later down the road. All right, I'll give you. Let's make that a problem whenever it becomes a problem. Not now, Corey. I got you.
Now, next, you just kind of started to reference it. Could this offensive line for the Cowboys really click and be a strength? The Cowboys offensive front did not give up a sack against the Eagles. Last time Dallas held an opponent to no sacks was the Giants game last November, and there were some encouraging things there.
I'll give a lot of credit to Dak on the no sacks part.
I agree with that.
Getting rid of the ball when he's supposed to instead of holding on to it a little too long. That was like he was really effective at that. But I did. There were other times where that pocket was really nice and clean, and that's all you can ask for, especially against that defense. Now, if Jalen Carter's there, is it that different?
That's a fair question.
Who knows? Either way, game one, he wasn't there. That was his own stupid fault. That's his.
Sure.
So the Cowboys took advantage of it in that way. But I do think that they can. I need Guyton to grow up even faster than he did already because game one, he looked pretty good. And also Tyler.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know, man. He had one moment where he reached out and kind of was off balance and then created a hole. I'm just not used to seeing him make that kind of play, but I think they're going to be quality, man.
I'm right there with Corey. I think they are going to be quality, and I think it is only going to get better as the year goes on. And what's unfortunately going to be the reality is we're going to have to keep looking back at Guyton's injury in camp and wonder, you know, anytime there is a pressure given up or anytime there is a sack given up, we're going to be like, well, if he didn't miss that time, he was looking good in camp. But I did see enough, you know, looking back at Thursday's game, I was impressed that week one looked as clean as it did across the offensive line. It wasn't perfect by any means, but it looked cleaner than I certainly expected it. So I do think the expectations just kind of move forward going forward.
Now, last question for you right here, specifically about the Cowboys. Will they be able to figure out a way to come back in the fourth quarter? Now, in the last 5 years, and we talked about this some on Friday, the Cowboys were 4-33 when trailing after three quarters. Now they're 4-34. I'm not saying you have to be 500 or anything like that, although Josh Allen could probably figure it out. Do you
think... So they're only good when they're ahead?
Yes.
No, that's not going to change.
Oh, man. That's not great.
Well, You have to be a disciplined team to win in the fourth quarter. When you're down, you have to be disciplined to come back and make plays happen. You got to have a little luck on your side, too, sometimes. Hell, look at last night for sure. Some lucky things happened for Buffalo to get back in position to be able to win that game last night. But you have to be disciplined so to make those comebacks happen and not have sloppy things happen late in the fourth quarter. What I saw from the Cowboys in the first quarter of the football game made me think they are going to be more disciplined this year. I just believe it right now. Last year was kind of a weird season, obviously, with the coach's job in limbo. And
right.
A lot of guys probably like, I don't care. But this year it does seem like they are more accountable to each other. So I think that they could get better at it. But, man, that's a terrible stat right there.
Alec?
Painted the perfect picture there, as you usually do with football majors.
Thank you.
Discipline is going to be the biggest thing that either leads them to success in the fourth quarter like that or prevents them from having it. And I do think that it's something that I know everybody here has pretty much talked about it, but I've harped on it a lot, is that this staff seems like they have motives. It seems like they have some sort of ideology that they've really instilled into this group of guys, that we have a plan. We need to execute that plan week in and week out. And there's no reason we shouldn't be doing that if everybody just does their job. And with a Schottenheimer group, I do think that's going to be something that stands out. And I do think it's going to lead to situations where maybe you're a watermelon kick away from winning a game that you shouldn't be winning. You know, you saw it happen a couple times in the McCarthy era. I think you could see it happen a lot more with this group.
Now, speaking of winning games that you probably shouldn't, I'm going to go back to general NFL for just a second, and let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Gavin Dawson NFL?
Yes.
The general.
The Bengals and Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow finished week one with 113 yards passing and a robust 2.9 yards per offensive play. Joe Burrow had 25 passing yards in the second half. Mm-hmm. And then their offense gave up more sacks, 3, than it had positive plays, 2, in the fourth quarter. Then Cincinnati, 5 of their 6 drives in the second half were 3 and outs. All that being said, they still were up 17-16 late in the game. And now go ahead and give me cut number 10, the Browns. 36-yard field goal to take the lead.
For the lead. And it is no good. He missed it wide to the right. A missed extra point, a missed field goal, and a missed opportunity for the Cleveland Browns.
And the Browns coach has already said he's not ready for a kicking competition. So despite the staggering things that you just heard, they're like, nah, I'm going to go ahead. The Bengals win their first game. They have been notoriously slow starters. How miraculous is it that they won this game despite all the terrible stats I gave you?
No, the numbers, yes, that's a very significant deal. They intentionally went out this year and did more in preseason games so that they would be better for game one. Can you imagine how bad it would have been had they not prepared that way, Kevin?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, they could have lost 16-16 in the half. I don't know. With it, like
16-15.
Yeah, it would have been weird. But Cleveland, I mean, Joe Flacco, 290 yards. Cleveland didn't run the ball well at all.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't think we're used to with when it comes to Cleveland.
Maybe they knew that was going to happen because they got a roster exemption for Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, yeah.
Because he signed his fully guaranteed deal and they were like, oh, this thing is going to suck.
That being said, Trey Hendrickson had a really good game. He also had a penalty on him that was one of those that he was laughing about. He did the crying eyes. It was like, oh, somebody crying over there. But it's really interesting to kind of watch this because Trey Hendrickson was really good. Myles Garrett was damn good, too.
Right.
Like, he was damn good in this game. And it's just, I think we all kind of lost by this game being on.
Oh, okay. Well, surprisingly, one team that won and won emphatically was the Colts. Now, I already played you the Cam Bynum celebration, but also The Colts won 33-8. They were shutting the Dolphins out until the last few minutes. They had more than 400 yards of offense. They scored on every single offensive drive, which I believe is the first time since their disputed stats here, either 1978 or 2000 in the opening week. And it snapped an 11 opening game winless streak for the Colts. They hadn't won the first game since 2013.
Wow. I had heard on Red Zone, I believe, that they had not scored on every possession in the first half of a game since Peyton Manning was there. And so
they made it the whole game.
And so, Daniel Jones really showed me, you know, he really did it.
He played well.
Congratulations to him. I have thoughts on Miami. That we are going to get to today. That team looked awful.
Agreed.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we've essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.